if you're building an SDR team, I would hope that you're building the SDR team to actually take your destiny into your own hands and do outbound pursuits as well that are aligned to the campaigns that you're running. The goals and the definition of leads around the outbound is a completely different mindset than the inbound. Buyer-ready spectrum, outbound, maybe not so much. The KPIs around the two should be different accordingly.
Thank you for tuning in to part one of The Missing Link to More Revenue, Standing Up a SDR Department. In today's episode, Sean Doyle and Ed Rush discuss how to ensure your organization has all the right tools and alignment to maximize revenue generation. We hope you enjoy and are able to apply the concepts to your business. Let's dive in.
Hello, welcome to Aligned, the podcast for executives of the emerging middle market space. Today we have Ed Rush, not Red Rush. Ed, how do you get some weird names, don't you?
Well, it's Ed Rush, but it's spelled R-U-S-C-H, and that C throws so many people off, but I get it. No worries.
Throw away the C and you got Ed. I had the opportunity to work with Ed as well. He's a friend to Fitzmartin and the Aligned podcast from days past. In fact, I think I've insulted him because we haven't published everything we've recorded, so I'm going to have to get back on the production team there. But we want today to talk about something that I think Ed just excels at. He's served as the chief marketing officer for several significant companies. Many of them have been retained by private equity relationships, so success. And I think in my journey with him, my opinion at his last shop, Command Alcon, that he was a significant part of why they would have bought. So I don't know that many executives think about marketing as a way to add a multiple to a purchase, but it is. So how do we do that is probably the focus of our conversation. Ed, you've done an amazing job, and I've seen it repeatedly, where you come in, diagnose problem, and it's not pure marketing. It's the intersection of marketing and sales. There's a million podcasts on marketing, and there's a million podcasts on sales. It's the middle. It's that gap. That's what I want to talk to you about today. So thank you, Ed. Appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me on the program. This is super exciting to be able to participate in this kind of conversation. And it's really a call to action for fellow marketers and marketing leaders to be sure to have that revenue marketing mindset. There's lots of components around marketing. One of the pleasures about marketing is able to drive value cross-functionally and business partner cross-functionally to almost every facet at the business. But if you really want to leave your mark, impact the company valuation like you just talked about, Sean, be sure that that gap between sales and marketing is filled, it's filled well, and that you're driving growth and value for the company.
Well, you know, they say if you run your business like you want to sell it, you'll end up not wanting to sell it, right? So why wouldn't we all want to run our business as well? So let's talk a little bit about the gap, but I'd love to start with just some stories. We at Fitzmartin, we do three things. We have an advisory services component, we have a revenue operations component, and we have a creative operations component. So in the advisory services roles, I have the opportunity to look under the hood of a lot of companies. And one thing I have seen, and you asked before we went on the air, you know, why this conversation? One thing I've seen is as people have invested in sales. In fact, we talked about this history of, you know, we were an agricultural nation and we moved into being an industrial nation. And then I'd say we were in kind of a sales and madmen advertising kind of mindset. And then recently, most recently, we've really watched inbound kind of go through and the integration of marketing automation and CRM systems. And, you know, and still there's this struggle like, well, this stuff didn't work, right? Well, it's not that it doesn't work. It's just that it's, if it's not integrated, if it's not aligned, then it doesn't work. And I think what I see as I go into 15, 30, 50, $100 million companies is often the gap is this role. So there's people dedicated to marketing, to getting leads in. There's people dedicated to closing deals. And then there's this gap. So I would love to talk about that gap. And Ed, what have you seen as you've poked around?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you've really hit on a key component of that bridge between the functions. You know, absolutely, from an inbound perspective, the digitization of the world, the ability to self-educate and consume information online, places where you can go that have clear to call to actions, that if you're compelled to raise your hand and fill out the form, you're going to put yourself into the process. And hopefully that company engages you in a timely, high quality response to that inbound inquiry. Mm-hmm. On the other side of the equation, you have that direct sales force, the people charged with closing deals. You know, they're measured against their quota, their numbers. In a lot of ways, that game hasn't necessarily fundamentally changed. It's just the plays and the types of plays you have to run in this new digital era that I think has driven a lot of change there. And so that's a level of growth that if you can put those two machines together, it's going to be good for your business and it's going to take you to the next level. There's this component, though, in the middle where everyone isn't neatly raising their hand, engaging with your content. And there's all these opportunities that kind of get lost in that mid-funnel gap, like you just described, that never ultimately make it to that sales engagement or that sales conversation that you're looking to have happen or try to achieve. And this is where the beauty of the sales development rep role and serving in that bridge or that gap between those two areas and driving the engagements, putting additional outbound efforts against prospective people who are demonstrating some curiosity but not raising their hand, and getting them in to your value proposition, getting them engaged with your subject matter experts that otherwise likely might not have happened if you didn't invest in this sales development rep role that we're going to talk about today.
You know, I think you said two things I think are really critical. One is measurement, right? As executive teams have gotten better at measuring and demanding that marketing offer measurement, the digital world's offered insights to pipeline reports and a lot of predictability. So that's all good. And I think that pressure is part of what's raising this gap. And I found some data, actually you shared it with me, I didn't find it at all. Ed's the smart guy here. I found some data that talked about in that $10 to $100 million company space, revenue space, that 40 to 48, 50% are marketing sourced leads. Well, that means half, right? Let's call it half. We're just going to average it out. Well, you can't be a $100 million company and perform with only half the revenue you need and enough leads out of half of marketing. So if marketing can't do it, then sales is going to step in, because comp design is structured that way. So if comp design is structured that way, then what's sales going to do? They're going to start pushing back into things that marketing should do, right? So I think the interesting, or one interesting thing about this SDR role is this, what's SDR stand for, by the way?
Sales Development Rep.
All right. What else is it called? It's called a million things.
BDR, Business Development Rep. In BDM? This conversation, yeah, we'll use those interchangeably. The one I've typically used is a business development rep. At the same time, though, that language, I think, just to caution the audience, can be confusing, because there's a business development function within many of the same organizations. And that role is more of a higher level senior role that's meant to manage M&A or partnership or other, you know, so reseller opportunities within the business. We're not talking about that. So as I engage in these conversations more, I'm moving towards the SDR acronym, Sales Development Rep. It's more accurate talking about the in the trenches plays that those folks are going to do to drive to the growth goal that the company's looking for.
Perfect. Thank you. Definitions are always helpful. And I'm often accused with my clients and friends of, like, when you talk, it's all acronyms. I don't have a clue what you're talking about.
So. Well, I found that I'm in the supply chain, sort of business-to-business SaaS supply chain space. And over the years of my history working within this area, it's full of acronyms. It's full of people using similar words, but the definition or the context in which they're using those words is not the same. So they think they're having a conversation about the same thing, and the two people having that conversation are absolutely not doing that. So I'm glad we're taking the time to actually circle around what we mean by these acronyms and these terms.
So let's roll back a second. Let's look at symptoms. I believe that the best experts can see symptoms of a problem. So I want us to share with the listeners, what are the symptoms that you might be seeing in your organization that might trigger that an SDR or or changing the way you think about that role would be helpful. And I'll kick us off with a marketing point of view. You know, we were one of the early people into the marketing automation technology and the inbound lead stuff. And it was came out with big fire and everybody was the shiny object. You know, everybody wanted it and everybody implemented it, but the expectations weren't set right. So what's that sound like in practical reality? Practical reality, I see an SVP of sales saying, we don't need all your leads are all garbage, you know, and after a time, what I've realized is the leads weren't garbage. The leads were earlier stage than professional salespeople want. They want things to close. So that's a symptom, that hearing complaints about lead quality. Now, you might have bad lead quality. That's also an option. But if you go back to that data where marketing is only going to produce a little less than half of all the leads you need using other techniques, then that points toward a lead quality problem. When, because you're looking, you're not going to hit your number, right? So there's not enough leads. So you're frustrated at the volume. And then other people, if sales gets a hold of them too soon, you know, in marketing, everybody likes this word nurture, middle of the funnel stuff. And there is reality to that, right? People can, we use behavioral science that says people can sit in that early stage decision-making process 6 months, 12 months, 2 years. Well, sales says that's a bad lead. It's not. It's just a lead that's not ready for sales. So that's something I see in marketing a lot. What have you seen, Ed?
Yeah, that it absolutely is one symptom. And related to that symptom is likely the lack of a service level agreement between the marketing function and the sales function that defines what a good lead looks like. And without that, it's left to qualitative opinions about particular experiences with a small sample set of the leads. So one thing to address that concern is actually work with your sales partner if you're the marketer and vice versa. If you're the sales person that sees the symptom of poor lead quality, work with your marketing lead and actually sit down and define a service level agreement between your two organizations that is quantitative, not qualitative. And if it meets all the criteria in the SLA, it's going to be accepted as a good lead. And sales by default will take ownership of that lead.
Whether you use a CRM, marketing automation, advertising platforms, or anything else, keeping track of your current marketing technology can be challenging. And if you need assistance sorting through your existing tech stack, Fitzmartin's MarTech Audit is here to help. Fitzmartin will audit your organization's currently utilized technology based on 7 categories, analyzing how your organization's tech components are used to see if you are allocating the proper funding to each criterion. The result? It delivers robust ROI savings through reduced tech fees, recommendations for future technology, and more time for your marketers to do their jobs. For more information, check out our show notes or visit fitzmartin.com.
So this also speaks to then the ability to automate, repeat, and move quickly from a lead velocity standpoint, because some of the poor leads actually relate to a company's inability to act on those leads in a timely manner. Mm. If you were to look at the metrics, a company that responds to a form fill or an inbound lead within 60 minutes and compare that to company B that takes 6 hours to do the same thing, company A wins over company B almost 100% of the time. Because the mindset in the prospective buyers already been created about your company's MO. How important are you? Your ability to move and execute and do so well. And I think it's the speed category. But then if you have mechanisms in place that allow you to act on those things in less than 60 seconds in a high quality manner, it also speaks to more likely at a macro level, the other parts of your business are also engineered to continue that high quality, high level of service through the customer experience from start to finish, right? And the companies that can't respond in 60 minutes likely fall down, you know, for the rest of the sales process as well at times. And so that's where it's important. I think another symptom, if you want to stick on symptoms as well, is, and it's related to what you said, it's not necessarily poor quality, but ones that on face value, hey, it's a lead. That's my ideal customer profile. It's in the revenue band. We have lots of referenceable customers. We win in this arena like crazy amounts of time. This is right up our alley. You get the lead, you have the meeting, and it burns out really quickly. You can often see that as well. And then you get curious as to, well, why are these, you know, should be home runs or at least doubles falling out at a rate that's high and quick? You would think because of these other factors, it meets the definition of the lead, that we can at least get them through step two, step three of the sales process. So another symptom that you might see is the time in which really sweet spot leads, ideal customer profile leads, burn out of the process really quickly. And that speaks to a gap or an inconsistency with the message and what compelled that person to action. And then the experience they have with the sales rep once that meeting takes place. And if there's a delta difference, a meaningful delta difference in what compelled them to want to talk to you in the first place, and then what they heard in that meeting, that's why that's happening as well. So this SDR role becomes really critical in those situations as well, because this is the glue between those two organizations that keeps those types of things from happening, and making sure that the expectation that the customer or prospect had when they took that meeting and what they're thinking this meeting's all about is very much aligned with then what is sales prepared to deliver in that initial meeting.
Yeah, that's a great observation and a great metric. We did a consulting gig once where we were seeing a lead that came in, fell out into the marketing system. It migrated over to the sales system, and it was typically reviewed every 30 days. So can you imagine a callback on a 30-day-old contact? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a bad lead, right? No, the person grew old and died while they were waiting for sales to come. You know?
So that goes back to that SLA. And so in the world I'm in now, it's a SaaS software for supply chain. We're in supply chain planning and price optimization space. There's five criteria in that SLA between marketing, the sales development reps, and the sales team. And if you can answer yes to all five of those criteria, by default, it moves from a marketing qualified lead to a sales accepted lead. And then the chain of custody has been conveyed over to sales.
Yep.
And there's clear ownership and designation of who's running the plays from that point forward.
All right. I got one hand. I've got five fingers. What are the five?
Well,
or are they unique to your they're unique to your organization.
So this is the thing I'd counsel is, if you're going to take my five, they don't carte blanche apply to everybody. So this is not a silver bullet solution. The silver bullet is define them, whether it's three, whether it's seven, whether it's four, and whatever they are, it's not negotiable. Yeah. If it's yes to all of them, it is by definition. If it's not yes to all of them, it isn't by definition. And then have the conversation to do the exception management on the ones that don't meet all the criteria. So one, though, I think is a pretty universal one. A meeting must be booked by the SDR, and that meeting must be within the next 30 days.
Every sales coach I've ever talked to says the goal is not a meeting. So you just ran contrary to anybody listening who's ever had sales coaching. We've all been taught that.
Well, why are they saying that the goal is not a meeting?
I think it's the, I see how he flipped that back on me. I think it's that people can manipulate their way into a meeting. I can guilt Ed into taking a meeting with me. In fact, I did it the other day. I even made you buy me a sandwich. It was great. It's true. True story. I think the manipulation versus helping has got to be defined, right? So if you understand who you're looking for and you understand who you can help, and you only call market to reach out to in any way to people you can help, then you can avoid the manipulation thing, whatever it is you're selling, right? So if you're not manipulating, if you're helping, that helps.
Yeah, so spot on. So I would agree with you. I mentioned the SLA has to have a multitude of criteria. It's not one, and it's not the single thing of being able to manipulate somebody to a meeting. Would agree with you. Though I do think it's a very tangible, obvious criteria that everyone can agree and rely upon. And then also going back to the timing perspective is, if it's beyond 30 days, somebody's just sort of pushing it out and you haven't engaged them to the point where they're willing to make a concerted effort for 30 minutes to talk to somebody within a reasonable amount of time. So the time factor is important. You can't be 6 months out, for example, yep. right? Because that meeting will never happen. But that's where I say, to your point, to help ensure that you're not just manipulating people into meetings, you have other criteria as well. So in the universe I'm in now, we have a very defined verticals that we serve and serve really well. We've subdivided those verticals into sub-verticals and prioritized those where we're able to win and do really well. And we call those hills, and we have a take the hill strategy. So the criteria number two, it has to be in one of those sub-verticals that's been stated. It's on the list, and we know we can win in those areas. Number three is there's revenue bands that we target as part of our ideal customer profile, and the revenue of that organization must exceed a given threshold for it to be by default a marketing qualified lead that flips to a sales accepted lead. The other two around geography, and are we able to serve? We do work globally, but not everywhere around the globe. So we do get some things in that either are or aren't. And then the stated sort of problem area must be in an area that our solution can perform well in. And so we have historically within our organization have had some noise around the edges. And then when pressed for pipeline or trying to get stuff to chase, you'll get distracted by the noise around the edges and think some of those things are opportunistic. And at the end of the day, the companies learn that you're spending time on something that ultimately is never going to close. And then you're burning opportunity time with things that you should be focused on that now you're sucking wind chasing this thing on the side. So those are five we use here. You can define your own four. You can define your own six. And then the other point, going back to what I said earlier, this actually speaks to some of the distinction and expectations that you really need to set around leads, because not all leads are created equal. There is a component that comes in from an inbound perspective that has facets to it that allow an SDR team, for example, to qualify those in a different way, because the buyer has self-identified a problem. They're already raising their hand that they're in a sales process, that they're pursuing information about you and they're comparing you to some others, right? That's one set of plays. If you're building an SDR team, I would hope that you're building the SDR team to actually take your destiny into your own hands and do outbound pursuits as well that are aligned to the campaigns that you're running. The goals and the definition of leads around the outbound is a completely different mindset than the inbound. Inbound, buyer-ready spectrum, outbound, maybe not so much. The KPIs around the two should be different accordingly.
Great. Well, let's dive in. We're going to dive into that. I feel like we've probably rambled on and waxed poetic and gilded the lily and all those other expressions. But I would say one comment, then we're going to wrap for today. You know, we recommend and advise those categories for that SLA have four pieces based on the behavioral science that we follow, and that is need. Most of your ideas around need and fit, right? Mm-hmm. So if they're need and you're the right product and there's a need fit relationship there, great. That's good. So I'm hearing you say that SLA might have two or three or four categories in that need fit relationship. Time. Behavioral science informs us that nobody really makes decisions outside of 6 months. Well, I live in the B2B world, and immediately somebody just thought, that's not true. Our people have three-year contracts, and they're always, well, people do. 80% of all people who are your customers are constantly reevaluating you against somebody else. But all the decision makers will not get involved 2 years out, a year out on a major decision. It's going to happen within 6 months. So behavioral science supports you perfectly, Ed. That's great. I don't know if that was accidental or you're just as bright as I think you are. So need, time, decision makers, right? You need to have those decision makers. And that's important, right? So that need, time, decision maker pieces. Is that four? I think I forgot one, didn't I? Need, time.
Yeah, there's one more. And while you're...
Money.
Yes.
So you've got to have somebody who's willing to talk about money or you're wasting everybody's time, right? Different people have different needs. So, and different people listening are going to have different needs. So there are people listening who are going to sell $250,000 major CapEx ideas. There's people who are selling SaaS ideas. There's people who are selling all kinds of different things. So I think if you use those four ideas, need, time, decision maker, money, and then break those down, you can build a great SLA. And I think that's a brilliant symptom. You know, the lead quality question, the sales complaints. Another symptom I see is there's not a defined journey that everybody agrees on. It's sort of that SLA. You can't have an SLA unless you understand the journey. And I think you can do any customer decision journey in 6 steps based on the behavioral science that allows you to define marketing's role, sales roles, and then customer success roles, which broadly simplify, those are the only 3 things your team needs. So if that's of all interest, Ed, I'd love to, we can pretend like we're going to meet again, because isn't that what they do and all the cool? Yeah.
Yes. So if you'll come back, change.
Right. Yeah. If you'll come back, then we can, now let's break this into 2 conversations. I think it's good. The promise, I think, if you come back for the next episode is you're going to define these roles. So saying SDR is not one role. It's 2 roles. Wow. Okay. So you're going to tell us about that when we get back. And maybe we also talk about measurement and comp design a little bit.
We sure appreciate you listening today. If you would like to get in contact with today's guest or stay in touch with us, visit our show notes. Additionally, to get the latest strategies for the alignment between marketing and sales, visit fitzmartin.com. As a reminder, if you have found value in today's episode, leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, or your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, thanks for listening.